You may be seated. God bless you.
That's a man of wisdom.
Praise God. I feel like the Lord is here tonight.
Yes,
I felt Him here this morning. I believe the Lord moved on some people. And I believe that He'll move on you tonight if you let Him.
That's right.
And I trust that you prayed today.
Oh, hallelujah.
Because if you want 100 souls, all you got to do is begin to pray.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Brother Rutledge and I was talking today about so many times when people come in, evangelists, lots of times they start trying to get you to jump and run and hold things of that nature. And I believe in jumping and running.
Sure.
But if I can get you to pray, and I don't have to worry about the jumping and running.
All right. That's all right.
See, I teach that salvation is individual. This is individual. And so many times we look around and we say, well, if the rest of them do it, I'll do it. No, it should be if nobody does it, I'll do it.
That's all right.
See? If you can take it upon yourself to pray, get it within yourself to pray, do it because you want to get somewhere with God, and each one of you individually does this, that you find time to come to church and pray, you find time each day. How many ever started doing a little exercise or maybe doing a little jogging or doing a little walking or things of that nature? You ever start then? Well, I believe his brother Rutledge told me it took him 2 weeks to get up how far?
Block and a half.
Block and a half. Well, what I'm trying to point out to you is this. If you don't do nothing but start with 5 minutes a day and start building up, get on down the line, you add, make it 10 minutes a day. A lot of people, they get all enthused and they jump out and say, I'm going to pray 2 hours, and bam. Boy, they fight, struggle, do everything they can trying to get through that 2 hours. And then they don't pray anymore for a month. See, consistency is what makes you closer to God. Consistent. I'd rather you pray every day, 7 days a week, 5 or 10 minutes a day, and that's no time to pray. But I'd rather you do that every day and know that you got to do that every day and know that you want to do that every day.
Hallelujah.
Than to pray 2 or 3 hours 1 week and forget it for 30 days. Pretty soon, you know, anybody can pray 5 minutes. If you can't, boy, you need another dip. That's right. Because it takes you longer than 5 minutes to eat. Most of you, by the looks of you, you've been eating pretty hearty. I told them I had a new message. Since I lost weight, I'm going to preach against fat folks.
How much you lost?
I lost 110 pounds. I believe one of the brothers said last night he was sure that I was going to tell him how much I weighed now. Well, when I was here before, I think I weighed 326. And I think now I weigh about 222, something like that. So I've got down as far as 216, but I go up and down between 222 and 216 all the time. Up and down, up and down. Buddy, when you lost 110 pounds, it's hard to lose another pound. But I didn't do that. It took almost a year and a half to do that. What I'm trying to get over to you is this. You got to build up. You got to build up. You're going to read the Bible? Start off with one chapter a day. Read one chapter a day. Just make sure you get that one chapter read, you know. Don't take you no time to read one chapter. I went and timed myself reading the New Testament with a stopwatch on every chapter in the New Testament. And there was very few chapters in there that it even took over 2 to 3 minutes to read that one chapter.
Yeah.
I read the New Testament in a little over 13 hours. See, exactly. Of course, I'm a fast reader. You may not read that fast. But what I'm telling you is that there's not any questions that much, but about 5 minutes to the longest chapter in the New Testament. And anybody can't spare 5 minutes, you're in bad shape.
Amen.
Everybody go like this.
Yeah. We'll wait. Amen.
I'm trying to, which you know that I push prayer all the time, but prayer is essential. We become dead in our pews. We do not feel what we used to feel. And God has not changed. The power of God is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. But like the old timers that used to go out in the woods and pray for hours, that's the reason they had the power. They didn't have the education. They didn't have words to say like maybe some of the preachers do today. But they had the power for the simple reason they got it from God. And when you bend your knees and get it from God, you're going to see some results. Don't depend on the preacher to do it all. Sheep have sheep. The shepherd don't have them. All he does is take care of them. That's right. Everybody go like this. Shepherd don't have sheep. The sheep have the sheep. And you all are the sheep. It's up to you to bring people out here. It's up to you to get people in the house of God. And the way you do that is make sure you got the victory yourself. And when you're sure you got the victory, and when I say victory, folks, I'm not talking about you got to jump over a bench. I'm talking about victory inside. I'm talking about when you're thinking about Jesus. And boy, you just can't wait to tell somebody about it. And you got to get a hold of somebody. It's just working on you. Fire. Shut up in your bones. You got to get a hold of somebody. It's just working on you. Fire. Shut up in your bones.
Yes.
Say, oh, Jeremiah grew weary of forbearing, but he had got disgusted and discouraged and decided he wasn't going to tell anybody about it. But when he got down there, he got tired not saying anything about it. He said, I grew weary of forbearing. In other words, I grew weary with keeping my mouth shut. Because, boy, this thing was too much. You know, there's not a recorded place in the Bible where Jeremiah ever won one soul to God. But he done a whole lot of preaching and a whole lot of prophesying and a whole lot of doing for God. And when he decided he was not going to do it anymore, it was more than he could stand. Well, friend, if you're not prayed up and have the victory in your soul and you get a thought in your mind like that, you'll be sitting down not doing nothing. It's only with the Spirit of God that he keeps prodding you. Keeps prodding you, see.
Amen.
Like I told you, I've seen the times when I'd pray and it seemed like it'd get worse. And so I began to say, Lord, now it's in the Bible. And I'm not using it right. Somewhere, some way, I'm not getting this out right. And I just pray that much more. I can tell you a God's fact. That I not one time have I doubted God. I really haven't. I do not doubt Him. And I keep searching, trying to find out where it is. I'm not believing right or I'm not doing something. You know, it's not God's fault. Not God's fault. And I just keep searching. I keep reading another one. I keep reading a little bit here and a little bit there. I just keep holding on. You know, because that's the way it's got to be. Make up your mind like Job did. I know when I've been tried by fire, I'm going to come forth as gold, for I know that my Redeemer liveth. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank God. Kid you.
Hallelujah.
You can sing this with me. You sang it for chorus, or a lot of people do. I just sang a little faster. I heard the writer sing it, and he don't sing it slow with a lot of people. Well, I am blessed. I am blessed every day that I live. I am blessed when I wake up in the morning or I lay my head to rest. I am blessed, Lord, I am blessed. Well, I am blessed. Lord, I am blessed.
Come on.
Every day that I live, I am blessed. When I wake up in the morning,
when I lay my head
to rest, I am blessed. Lord, I am blessed.
Well, I am blessed.
Lord, I am blessed. Every day that I live, I am blessed. When I wake up in the morning, or I lay my head to rest, I am blessed. Lord, I am blessed. When I think about my family and the love that I receive, all of my friends, God has given them to me. Well, I look all around me, all the good things that I see, and I'm blessed. Lord, I am blessed.
Well, I am blessed.
Lord, I am blessed.
Are you?
Every day that I live, I am blessed. If I wake up in the morning, or I lay my head to rest, I am blessed. Lord, I am blessed. When I recall the miles that I traveled from east to west, His grace has been sufficient to pass every test. All my good health God has given me doesn't stand the best, and I'm blessed. Lord, I am blessed. Well, I am blessed. Lord, I am blessed. Every day that I live, I am blessed. When I wake up in the morning, will I lay my head to rest? I am blessed. Lord, I am blessed. I want everybody that's been healed at one time or other in your life to stand up.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You've been healed. Everybody turn around and look. Look at all them people that God has healed at one time or another. I want just you all that are standing to sing this with me. Come on, let's sing it. Well, I am blessed. I am blessed. Every day that I live, I am blessed. When I wake up in the morning, or I lay my head to rest, I am blessed.
Glory!
I am blessed.
Sing it again.
I am blessed. I am blessed. Every day that I live, I am blessed.
Hallelujah!
When I wake up in the morning, or I lay my head to rest, I am blessed. Lord, I am blessed.
Now we're going to do it again. I think we owe the Lord a couple of hallelujahs.
Hallelujah.
Right now, close your eyes and think about it when you were sick. Think about it when you were sick. Maybe some of you didn't know, like the brother said, didn't know if you didn't go to get out of it or not. But you're here tonight. You're here tonight. You're standing here tonight. Hallelujah. You could already be in the graveyard, but you're here tonight. You're here tonight. We owe God something, don't we? I want us to sing this course again. And before you get through the whole course, I want you to lift your hand and holler hallelujah about two times. Just real loud. Let's let the devil know we're thankful to God for touching our bodies. Hallelujah. I don't care if you're a sinner or a saint. Doesn't make any difference. You owe the Lord your life tonight. You owe the Lord your life. If you're backward, get unbackward. If you got the Holy Ghost, you're supposed to be bold in the Lord. I'm not asking you to jump benches. I'm not asking you to do that. But I'm asking just to be thankful. Let's show the Lord we're thankful tonight. One more time before we get through it now. At least two times. Let out a good hallelujah. I mean ground the devil out. Well, I am blessed. Oh, I am blessed. Every day that I live,
I am blessed. When I wake up in the morning, or I lay my head to rest, I am blessed. Lord, I am blessed. Well, I am blessed. Lord, I am blessed. Every day that I live, I am blessed. When I wake up in the morning, or I lay my head to rest, I am blessed. Yeah, glory! Oh, I am blessed. I am blessed. Every day that I live, I am blessed. When I wake up in the morning, or I lay my head to rest, I am blessed. Lord, I'm blessed. Come on, both hands, love him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory. Thank him for blessing you. Turn around, give somebody a big grin, shake your hand and say, I am blessed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You may be seated. God bless you. We have so much to be thankful for.
Amen.
So much.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Glory, glory, glory.
Kids, do you think? Well, long ago, an angel came, spoke to a woman and told her a name. Bring forth a son, call his name Jesus, and he will save his people from all sin and shame. But in the name of Jesus, we have all power. In the name of Jesus, he's a mighty tower. Although there's many, I don't know any like the name of Jesus, like the name of the Lord. But in the name of Jesus, the old crippled man walks. In the name of Jesus, the dumb man talks. In the name of Jesus, all demons flee. And the name of Jesus truly set me free. Well, in the name of Jesus, we have all power. In the name of Jesus, he's a mighty tower. Although there's many, I don't know any like the name of Jesus, like the name of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, everybody ought to know he's the mighty God. He's the Lord of hosts. He's the Father everlasting. Isaiah wrote, he's the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. But in the name of Jesus, we have all power. In the name of Jesus, he's a mighty tower. Although there's many, I don't know any like the name of Jesus. Like the name of the Lord, like the name of Jesus, like the name of the Lord. Tell me, what would I do? And I wish that I could convince you tonight. It's a terrible thing, the deadness of the brain and body that gets into people in coming to church.
Amen.
When I say deadness, I'm talking about we just sit there and everything hits us in the face, but just goes around our head and on past us. But this thing is so important for each individual. Every scripture in this Bible, and you can look it up, when it says, you must do, that means you must do it. Not we. Not we. He that hath an ear, let him hear. Not they that have ears, let them hear. He that have an eye, let him see. Not they that have eyes. So the Bible is written to you individually. So a lot of people say, the church has to do. You are the church. You make up the victory. Not we make it up. Man, your neighbor may have all kinds of victory, but that ain't going to do you a lick of good when the trumpet blows. You're going to have your own victory. You're going to do your own praying. You're going to do your own fasting, your own consecration. I don't care if mom and dad brought you to church all your life and you get big enough to come on your own and you just live on that, it'll not do you one lick of good. Friends, you're going to have your own salvation, your own victory, your own whatever it takes to get to heaven. It's got to be individual. I was preaching at a church in Oklahoma City. And I'm sure you know the brother, Brother Titus McDonald. And he had a drummer in his church that was giving him a little problem. And it tickled me, because Brother Titus, he don't use much diplomacy. He looked at that boy that playing them drums, he said, "Boy, you know why you play drums in this church?" He said, "You don't play them because your mama's a Sunday school teacher. And you don't play them because your daddy's a deacon." He said, "You play them because I'll tell you you can, and you ain't playing them anymore." You said, "Boy, that's rough, I know." And Titus McDonald just runs about 350 in church. And I talked to one young man that drove 80 miles one way just to be in that service. They have a dance every night. They really do. Son, them teenagers, they get with it. They like to preach me to death. All you got to do is open your mouth and they'll pull it out. But I said that to let you know that we individually must answer to God. No matter how good a church you go to, no matter how much victory the church has got, if you don't have it, you're not going to enjoy it. Everybody go like this. If you're backward, if you're kind of the meek, and you're kind of afraid to do anything, you're afraid people are going to look at you, but get over it. Because the Bible says when you receive the Holy Ghost, you'll receive power. Power. And I believe it means exactly what it says. Now, what we're going to preach on tonight. 17th chapter of the 1st Samuel, starting about the 38th verse. This is another one of the familiar scriptures that maybe I'll say something you hadn't heard. And Saul armed David. Not God armed him, but Saul. Saul armed David with his armor, and he put a helmet of brass upon his head, and also he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, "I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them." And David put them off him. I want you to remember this. As long as David continued to wear Saul's armor, he didn't do very much effective fighting. So that's what I want to preach about tonight. What kind of armor do we have? And I know we always have the same old idea. We go to the sixth chapter of Ephesians. We talk about the helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, and that is our armor. But as you go through life, you prepare yourself for life. That's the reason Mom and Dad tries to get you to go to school and to college to prepare yourself. That in a form is an armor to stand against whatever troubles and trials that may come in this world, that you might be able to take care of yourself and have the education to do it with. When my daddy was a kid, many times they didn't finish school and they became very successful. But in this day in which we live right now, you need an education like you've never needed it before.
Amen.
You need that to prepare yourself, to build yourself, to take care of yourself. And people go through life with the way they live, and that's the kind of armor that they're wearing. Now, I'm going to throw this in. Now, I'm not, please, everybody understand, I think they're taping this, so I'll have proof that I'm saying it. I'm not preaching against medicine, but I want to show you something. People get headaches, they start taking aspirin. If that doesn't work, they'll take Tylenol. And if that's not good enough, they'll take Anvil. And they'll use them until they find out which one does the job. Everybody go like this. You know it's the truth. If you take a couple aspirin that don't work, you say, well, I ain't going to take them anymore, and you'll try a couple times out. If that don't work, well, you'll take a couple Anvil. Whichever one of them works, when I come to visit you, you'll have a couple bottles. Because you are depending on them.
Amen.
Now, I said I'm not preaching against them. I'm just showing you something.
That's right.
The life that we live, the way we talk, the way we educate ourselves, we're putting on an armor.
Amen.
We're putting on an armor. And I've heard so many preachers talk about David coming down to fight and how here that was that little bitty lad, stripling of a kid. And in those days, when they made armors, armors was made personally. That king didn't go down to the pawn shop and buy an armor. Brother, it was made to fit him. The Bible says that Saul was a head and shoulders taller than anybody else. Now, you cannot tell me that a man that's a king of a nation was dumb enough to go and try to put that big helmet and all that big armor on a strapling of a kid. Now, in the Bible, lots of times when it referred to youth, they would still be 25 or 30 years of age.
Amen.
David was not no little man.
Amen.
Now, you'll never make me believe that.
That's
right. Saul put that armor on him. David didn't say this thing's too big. I've heard preachers describe him there with a shield practically touching the ground and all that big old helmet down over his eyes. I don't believe that. Man to moon. I don't believe it.
Amen.
He did not take it off because it didn't fit.
Amen.
Brother, that was an armor to put that armor on.
No doubt about it.
That was a king's armor.
Amen.
That was an honor.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't a disgrace.
Right.
So old David, when he got it on, he didn't feel comfortable. Because he'd never fought with an armor. He'd never got out there and found out what it'd do. But old David had a slingshot. Now David didn't just start using that slingshot.
Oh, God. Hallelujah.
David been using that slingshot ever since he was a kid. Why, you don't know how many. Wasn't no 10 gems, I guess, but you don't know how many stones or rocks or whatever he had swung out there. Bible talks about many of them using slingshots to throw them within a hair's breadth. Buddy, that's the width of your hair. Not your head, your hair. So David knew how to use that slingshot. We often think about David coming down there not knowing a thing about war. But old David already fought a lion. He'd already whipped a bear. Now, if I don't, you may not know how big them things are. But I was preaching in Florida here a while back, and I went to a sports shop, and they had a stuffed grizzly in the window. I walked up there, that old grizzly. I looked up like this and reached away up here like this to touch his mouth. Well, I thought, my goodness. No wonder David come down and want to know why the head wasn't fighting him. He'd already whipped a grizzly. He done whipped a bear as big as that giant was. And he did it with a slingshot. Bible says, grabbed him by the whiskers and took sheep right out of his mouth.
Praise God. Amen.
Now maybe you don't know how mean a lion is. I read here a while back that a full-grown lion could jump to the lower limb or jump over a fence with a full-grown cow in its mouth. A lion can run the length of a football field in 3 seconds. At a full gallop, he can jump, leap 50 foot. How wide is this church? In here. 60 foot in this auditorium. Now you think about that. That lion can leap all the way from that wall, at least over here to this aisle. And old David done whip one of them.
Amen.
Son, he done whip one of them. No wonder he went down and said, what are you all standing around here for?
Amen.
Said that old boy's up there cussing all the saints of God. And you all standing there. Oh, get out of here, you little punk man. You don't know nothing about fighting. Don't know nothing about fighting, man. I done whipped a bear and whipped a lion. He kept telling them that. I done whipped a bear and whipped a lion. It just went over them like water off a duck's back. They didn't pay any attention.
Yeah.
They had none of them killed a lion yet. All they knew to do is hide in rocks. That's all they need to do.
You got it.
Hide in the rocks, see? Now, I've heard a lot of stories, too, about how old David, when he got all ready to fight, he went down there and picked up them 5 smooth stones.
Yeah.
And I've heard stories where that it spelt J-E-S-U-S, or it spelled F-A-I-T-H, faith. But I don't believe that either. Goliath had 4 brothers. He did. I can tell you the names. And every one of them was a giant. So that was 5 giants. So he picked up 1 stone, 1 for each one of them. Son, he had faith. He went up there to win the battle. He didn't go up there doubting he's going to win it. He went up there for a stone for each one of them. That's what I believe.
Hallelujah.
Maybe you didn't know Goliath had 4 brothers, but he did. You can look in Samuel there and find out. They got killed too. You know who they got killed by? David's soldiers. Everybody that killed one of them giants was connected with David. So David and his soldiers killed all 5 of them brothers. Teach him giants a few things. Let me know one thing. You don't have to be a giant in order to win your battle. Every one of us is going to have to fight some giants in our life. That's right.
Amen.
You can't teach me victory until you've had some victory.
Amen.
Now, that's the truth. I used to think I could, but I couldn't. But I can tell you about it now. I can tell you about it now.
Hallelujah.
I used to read the stories. I used to talk to people. I used to get all their experiences. But friend, ain't nothing like it. Having your own route to travel.
Hallelujah.
We got giants. We got a giant of the world. That giant of the world is doing its best to sit in our pews today.
That's right.
We cannot use the world to whip the world.
That's right.
Our weapons are not carnal. We have got to be what we should be with God.
Amen.
If you're trying to use weapons of the world to whip the world, you're going to lose the battle.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to say something, and I hope you don't take it wrong. But we've got a lot of churches today, and I'm not saying this is wrong, please. But I want to point, I'm bringing the point out. We got a lot of churches today that are building big gymnasiums, building big entertainment things for the young people. And you're looking at an old timer now. But when I was about 14 years of age, you know what our recreation was? All the young people got together on a Sunday afternoon, and we had about 10 shut-ins, and we loaded an old bull bass on top of the car. That's that big old upright bass, and we'd drive and hold it with a hand, and everybody brought their accordions, tambourines, and harmonicas, and we'd go and spend about 15 to 20 minutes at each one of those houses and make it back to the church for prayer meeting at 5:30. That was our recreation.
Hallelujah.
But we were taught spiritual things. It was not the world that was keeping us. And I know I'm not saying there's anything wrong with recreation, please. But I'm telling you, we better not use recreation to keep the saints of God.
I believe that.
Brother, it's the Spirit. It's God. It's loving Jesus. You got to get desires in your thing for holy things. I think about the greatest thing in the world would be, I see some of them old arthritic hands. If I could just go down, take that old finger and straighten it out. Straighten that now.
Hallelujah.
Man, say in the name of Jesus and watch him flex him. I can think of no better entertainment in my life than to see that.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I'm getting over this point that our armor will consist of whatever we work at and whatever we use.
Amen.
Children usually pick up the armor of mom and dad. If it's praying, they know to pray. If it's talking too much, they know to talk too much. If it's running down the preacher, running down the Sunday school teacher, or you don't have to do that, you're putting an armor on them that's not going to hold up. But when you put on that armor of respect for the gospel and an armor of blessings, an armor of holiness, and an armor of do right, live right, walk right, put your feet on a solid rock and let Jesus Christ be that rock. When you do those things, brother, you can rest assured they're going to have on an armor that no matter what the devil brings against them, they're going to say, no, devil, I've got on an armor, and it's been proven by mom and dad.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
And no matter who you are, you're putting on an armor of some sort tonight.
Hallelujah.
You're putting on armor of some sort tonight. I'm not preaching against a little entertainment between, for Christian folks, but that's got to be domineering anymore. I held a revival some time ago. They had a ball team with ball suits and everything. Can you believe they come in there, sung, clapped their hands, but they had a ball game to play at 9 o'clock. And them young men walked out of there and went and played that ball game. And me trying to have revival. I almost lost the victory.
Yeah, they lost the revival.
You can't do it, folks. Our armor has got to be something that's going to withstand the fiery darts of the devil. If I can get you to pray and be faithful to God, I don't worry about the devil getting you. Devil never did get a fired up saint of God.
Amen.
Never did. But I will tell you this. When you have a victory, that's when the devil will hit you the hardest.
Amen.
When you have a victory, the devil hits you the next day.
Amen.
Harder than he's ever hit you before. When old Gideon come down time to fight, he had 32,000 people. God said, that's too many. If Gideon would have went out there and fought with them 32,000, if he'd have said, Lord, are you crazy? Man, this is a drop in the bucket. To my enemy, and you tell me we've got too many. If he'd went out and tried it, they'd have been slaughtered.
Amen.
Because that was not the armor that God was putting on them.
Amen.
They took the test, got down to 10,000, still too many, took the test, got clear down to a measly little 300. God said, now, you've got my armor on.
Amen.
You got what you need.
Hallelujah.
Now, if my memory is right, when they had the battle, I think they pursued over 100,000 people and never lost a man. Why? They had on the armor of God. They had on the armor of God. When they marched around the walls of Jericho, when children of Israel marched around the walls of Jericho, God said you go one time a day for 6 days and seven times on the seventh day. He said, don't you say a word. Just march. But he said, on the seventh time of the seventh day, I want you to preach to blow the trumpets. And don't forget to shout. Now that was the armor of God.
Amen.
I could almost say some of them children of Israel, about the second day started march. I ain't going to march. I marched yesterday. Y'all march. I ain't going to march. I ain't going to march. I'm tired. Man, them crazy idiots up there laughing at me off the wall. I ain't going to do that anymore. Didn't you hear them making fun? Throwing rocks out your ass. I ain't going to do that anymore. Joshua says, you all got to march. Nobody's to be left in camp. You got to march. Even those that got land on the other side of Jordan. He said, you got to come on and fight. Then you can come back and claim land.
Hallelujah.
Nobody was left in camp. How many of our people today, they let anybody else do the marching? Because the children of Israel and us today are good examples of each other.
Amen.
It's just the way it is. But if they would have cried it some other way, they would have got wiped off the face of the earth. But God put an armor on. He said, you do what I tell you to do, and I'll take care of the fighting. Buddy, that goes for you and I today. You may say, well, I work, and they'll laugh at me if I seek God. Brother, when you get the armor on, he'll take care of the laughing.
Right. Amen.
And nobody says it's going to be easy.
Amen.
But anything that's worth getting is worth fighting for. Anything that's worth as much as heaven's going to be worth, eternity that frees you from all pain and all rottenness and worldly vines and whatever, and just going to be a land of worship and praise and peace, brother, that's worth fighting for. That's worth taking criticism for.
Yes. Hallelujah.
I think about people in worshiping God. We don't have enough shouting in our churches.
Amen.
We don't have. But I want you to reach a place to where you have the shout.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
I want you to reach a place where all of a sudden cold chill hits your spinal column.
Praise God. Thank you.
Amen.
There isn't nothing anymore beautiful than to feel the blessing of God so strong. You say, woo! Can't stand it.
Praise God.
They got a detergent out now. I like it. Title of a shout.
Shout it out.
Say, if you got stain in your blouse, shout it out.
Yeah.
You get a spot on your trousers, shout it out. And I thought, You get a spot in your life, shout it out. You get burdens on your shoulder, shout it out. You get whatever there is, displeasure, displeasing down in valleys or whatever. Brother, just go to clapping your hands and praising God and get a good spirit of God get a hold of you and a good shout get in your feet. And brother, you'll go away shouting the victory. The burdens will be gone. The valley will disappear. You'll be on the mountaintop.
Glory. Amen.
Hallelujah. I found out that I can get off myself. I don't need a crowd. I get off myself and begin to pray and I just walk. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Pretty soon, man, darkness becomes light.
Hallelujah.
Down and out feelings become blessed.
Amen.
You walk out of there stepping high.
Mm-hmm.
Because the presence of God and the armor that you've got on will take you through.
Hallelujah.
It'll take you through.
Hallelujah.
But I wonder what kind you've got tonight. Have you got a dead, dried up armor? Have you got something you don't feel? If you was to face the devil face to face tonight, would you have on an armor that would take care of you? Would you have an armor that you could say, devil, in the name of Jesus. Would the devil know who you are? Would he know who you are? I feel like the devil knows who Billy Eugene Berryhill is. If he don't know who you are, he's done got you. He's got to know who you are. Brother, when you holler out the name of Jesus, remember those men that decided in the name of Jesus that Paul knows. That old devil said, Paul I know, Jesus I know, but who are you? Is that what the devil said to you? When you holler in the name of Jesus, when something's pressing you, can you hear the devil say, well, I don't know who you are. You ain't going to run me no place. You ain't got enough victory to drive me out of nothing. But when you got on the whole armor of God, when you have thrown aside the armor of the devil, and you say, I hadn't proved that, but I proved this one over here. I proved what praying will do. I proved what being faithful to church will do. I proved what going to God with my burdens will do. I proved what being around Jesus Christ and looking for deliverance, I proved it. I've got on that armor. I know what it's going to do. Let's bow our heads tonight. You see, you don't pick up the sword and the spear and the armor and begin to fight immediately. You have to learn. Like I said, David didn't just learn to use a slingshot. He could always use it. But the only thing he went with the help from God. He said, Lord, I'm doing this for you. Now I come to you in the name of the Lord. He said, I'm not coming with sword and spear, but I'm coming in the name of the Lord. When he let that stone go, it struck home to the destroying spots and laid the giant on the ground. Oh, hallelujah. My God, let me tell you about an armor. I got it on tonight. I've tried it. Son, I've tried it. I've been in the bed with it. I've been in wheelchairs with it. I've been in homes with it. I know what I've got. I've got an armor that'll hold you. That'll cause you to stand. I've got an armor that has a voice in it that says, hold on. Hold on. Help's on the way. Thank you, Jesus. Are you praying, saints? Come on. I want you to pray tonight. If you're in this building tonight without the proper armor, see, a shield is illustrative of the protection of God. Maybe the truth of God or salvation of God. The helmet represents God arming a man in defense of himself. Teaching that salvation is a growing act of God. See, we got to believe that we are saved, that we will be saved, that we're going to be saved. It's a growing act of God. Breastplate was protection, coat of mail. See, when a man girds on his sword, that meant he was going to war. When he took it off, it meant the war's ended. Oh, God. You remember Achan? Partaking of the gold and the silver and the Babylonian garments. While disobedience of the sin of Achan, he took the armor off of Israel. And when they went to fight against Ai, many were killed and they were chased by the enemy. Why? Because the armor had been taken off by the sin. Friend, if you got sin in your life, your armor will be weak. David was wearing the armor of the Lord. Let us stand tonight. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See at the portals, He's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Sing it, saints. Come home, come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinner, come home.
Hallelujah.
I'd like you to step out of this aisle tonight. You that need God. Are you praying, saints? We've not got enough praying going on right now. Everybody's looking around. We got to have power in here. The devil's walking the aisles tonight. He don't want these people to say yes to God. Folks, we need conviction. We need the power of God. Come on. There should be desperation in here tonight. Hallelujah. Why don't you go to calling somebody's name that's in here? Go to praying for them. My God, help us. What kind of armor have you got on tonight? What kind of armor have you got on tonight? How about it, Dad? Mama? Have you got the right kind of armor on? Can you pass it on to your children? You've got to have already whipped your giants in order to help them whip theirs. You've got to have already got some victory in yourself before you can get victory in them. My God, saints, listen to me tonight. I wish I could holler louder than I'm hollering. My, we're living in the last days. And if we don't get victory within our souls, I want to say something. When altar service is going on, you're not supposed to be visiting. You're not supposed to be gabbing. You're supposed to be in the altar.